Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful in all sorts of ways that you're listening to this podcast for May the 21st, 2022. I'm always grateful to have an audience. I'm always surprised I do with what I have to say. It lends itself to the subject we're going to be dealing with here this morning, and that is on indifference. Most people are very, very indifferent. The two emails that I received about indifference came in the last 3 weeks, and it's interesting how they came about. They just pop up together. It's the collective unconscious. People are searching for a relief, and they're not looking for answers or the insight that might be necessary to find a true and authentic answer, but they are looking for relief, and they are indifferent to anything that requires them to focus, concentrate, or change maybe their way of living, their lifestyle, maybe even. But really, it's the gravitas of their thinking that needs to change, and they're struggling to do that, and they don't even try. They don't even think about it, because everybody basically thinks in terms of that they are right, and there is no need to change any aspect of themselves. They're just perfectly right the way they are. So when you see things under the bias of all of that, when a person just lives with the assumption that they're right, then they become indifferent to anything else. And they can't really see the bigger picture of what's going on. The word indifference is defined by a lack of interest, concern, sympathy, unimportant, things like that. So when we're looking at indifference within us, especially towards a spiritual practice, which to the eyes and ears of most people in any generation, seems to promise absolutely nothing in the concrete or in the abstract, as it were. They look at spiritual work as hocus pocus, voodoo, navel gazing, things like that. I've been called all these things. So I understand exactly where the mind goes with all of this. So I thought we would talk a little bit about indifference today from the two emails I got. The first email I got was from Ryan, and he does not tell me where he lives, but he talks about a few things that are very important. First of all, he talks about he's 40 years old. His life, he sees, is turning. He's not particularly thrilled about the world that he lives in or the world in general. He came from a background where the religion in their family was not considered important or meaningful, and it was basically ignored, just indifference about it. So he had all that in his background. And the other thing that was kind of interesting is that there's something gnawing at him from the inside, he says. And he fell upon me on YouTube watching one of my TV programs, and he's been following them for the last year or two, and he found them to be interesting, but as he said, provocative, but not enticing. And he wanted to talk about what would entice him. He thinks he has to go through his usual demeanor of senses to be enticed to do maybe the work that I suggest. And then he also is concerned if I'm a cult, which the United States government's a cult. The Catholic Church is a cult. You have to understand, a cult is any organization that focuses on one person as their deity or as their supreme being, and I certainly don't do that. So, all right, Ryan, here we go. How do I overcome my indifference towards your work? That's how he ended the email. I don't know if you can. Ryan, with all of the strikes against you, and I mentally, emotionally, psychologically, in your physiology, in your chemistry, I highly doubt you would be able to overcome your indifference towards my work. It takes a rare person to have the ilk to want to work upon themselves, to even see the value of it. In my day, to work upon yourself was normal. This is what you did. Most people wanted to work on themselves. They didn't do it, but they at least had some sense of curiosity and interest. And those of us who did were shunned by society. You have to understand something here, Ryan. Inner work is something you can't be passionate about. You must be deliberate. You must see the origins of your nature as a human being and realize one thing, the great futility of it all. If you do not see the great futility of it all, you won't want to do it. Now, then the second thing that has to come up is you have to care about your life and how this all turns out. How is it going to turn out? What is your life going to turn out to be, and what will be prevalent on your deathbed? You have to see these things for the way they are, as they are, for yourself. Now, if you don't want to look at that, if you don't want to look at your life and think, well, you know, I had the mortgage, I had the retirement, I had the wife, the kids, they're all doing well or not or whatever. If it's only about the outer world that you live in, the outer world of people, objects, and things, then you're not going to be interested in inner work because, excuse me, you're not going to see the value of what those things were and that they weren't a value, and you won't want to transcend them at all. You won't see any reason to transcend. I mean, why would you? You have everything the way you wanted, or everything turned out the way it did, and yada-da, yada-da. You're looking at things thinking, well, you know, maybe this, maybe that. I could have done better here, there, whatever. There has to be, as Jesus talked about, you must hunger and thirst for righteousness, meaning in his day, this must be a deep, deep pull, not a passion, because passion can lead you to self-destruction. Passion does not necessarily mean you're awakening at all. Passion means obsession, compulsion. No, if you want to go deeper, if you really did, you'd have to be in touch first with the state of your futility. You'd have to see this whole life has been a sham. I have walked through my life. I was sleepwalking as I was going through my life. I just did what I was told to do. You grow up, you get a job, you go to college, you get married and you have kids, and you'd have to question that whole rigmarole, that scheduling, that whole deal. You'd have to see it for what it is. And then you would have to see, you know, the impermanence of life. And if you can't see that, and you can't see the rigmarole of just living your life according to rote, what your biology tells you to live for and by, if you can't see that, then what the hey, you know, you're not going to do the practice. There has to be a sense of futility. In most people's lives, you have to inspire them, cheerlead them into thinking that there is more for them that they're missing in this life, and they don't want to, as the millennials say, miss out on anything. So they have to be having a carrot before them before they get in the race. And in true, authentic inner work, that is not the case. There is no carrot. There is nothing. You work on it because you know something deep inside is going on within you. You see the level of impermanence in the world. Nothing lasts long here. You start to realize that no good deed goes unpunished here, that anything that is really good doesn't last long here. that nobody likes you anyway. These are the four noble truths of Greg Penn, and tongue in cheek. And if you don't see all that, then you're going to be indifferent and you're not going to care. So there is nothing that I can say to you to inspire you to work upon yourself. You have to want it with all of your heart, your soul, your strength. And evidently that is not what's going on right now. You're under the delusion and the hypnotism, you're in the cult of the human race. And that's as far as it probably will go. Should it go any deeper, you'll be in touch with me. But you're not. You're doing this. So I wish you well. And I understand that the inner work is not for everyone. Not for most people, at least. Please forgive me. Namaste. Everybody thinks they can just, you know, turn it on, turn it off. I can do this. No, I don't want to do that. You know, and I'll turn it off when it suits me and it gets in the way of what I want or my gratifications or all of that. But really, it's a lifestyle that is very, very unique. Last question. This is from Raymond, Brian and Raymond today. Why do I want to believe but can't in your work? I don't know. You know, you can't believe in this work that I offer. And if you watch Aspire, if you listen to the podcast, if you were to read a commentary, that would be very helpful. Reading commentaries are, in my opinion, essential. But it, and the discourses, to say the least, are most important. If you were to really get involved in all of that, then you might see. I don't want you to believe, okay? I just, the way the Western world talks about belief and how it thinks of belief is really not belief at all. So I don't want you to go there, and I won't want you to believe in what I'm saying or believe in me. I want you to recognize. I want you to go beyond belief. There must be a recognition of something between you and me that is mutual. That recognition is to mature out of the human body and into, and recognizing what that means, into your soul, your deep soul. And if you don't have that recognition because you don't realize the futility of your life based in the way you have lived, then you are going to miss everything that is important and you will never understand a single word I'm talking about. Most people have a cookie cutter life. They think they know. They look at other people, how they've lived, how they've bred, what they've done, where they've been, how much they have, whatever. They just go through the motions of their life and they miss the entire experience of living because they're so busy working on getting what they want instead of evolving, awakening, and recognizing what is deeply important. Until you recognize, and I say this to all people who come to me and say, well, you know, I'm thinking about it. Well, if you're thinking about, you know, working on yourself, you're not fit for it yet. It's not time for you. You can go to so many other people who will be more than happy to take your money and everything else and say to you, well, you know, you just believe in this and you've got it. No, no, no. You have to see for yourself the futility of your life lived as a human being. And if you can do that, Ryan, if you can do that, if you can recognize that, something will happen in you. You will have the, what I call, the reveal. And that first reveal is very, very important. Very, very important. Thank you for your question, sweet man. And maybe one day we'll meet. Who knows? Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there we are. I got more tomorrow. Hope you'll join me. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. And I hope you can realize your own indifference. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.